Well, I'm with the lovely Sean, who I was saying. Sean, where are we?
We're at the bottom of Elizabeth Tower, as it's called. What people think is Big Ben, but actually Big Ben's the bell.
Oh, so the actual structure that we look at is called Elizabeth Tower.
That's right. And we're also standing here, aren't we, with Sean, who tweets, "Who is that girl, UK?"
Hello.
Oh, is that you?
That's me. That's me on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. So we're at Speaker's Green, and for me, this is actually just where I let the dog wee, but no disrespect to the speaker. The history of this place is never lost on me. And if you look around at the building, what you'll see on the outside is that, listen, if anybody's listening, don't get offended. I'm not singling anybody out. I can't see.
Outrageous.
Outrageous, right. So what you've got, we'll have to explain that to Sean later, but
yes,
you've got this kind of gothic-y design because the original Palace of Westminster burned down in 1834.
Oh.
No, I don't remember it myself.
No, I don't.
But
this is fantastic.
Yeah. So what does it look like? So do you notice if you look at some writing around the building, around the palace, in Latin?
Yes. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah.
Now, do you know what that's like, Italy?
I can't even pretend that I'm that intelligent.
Somebody told me. It's the Lord's Prayer in Latin.
Oh. Yeah. Around the hut. Right, I guess we're across this building, just across that wall there.
Yeah, literally. Well, you've got the river at the end there.
If you all knew where I was standing, you'd be so jealous. Yeah. Thanks, Sean.
No worries.
There'll be more. We came through a passageway, didn't we, from Portcullis?
We did, yeah. We came under by the James Bond entrance and exit to the Tube, which people don't really understand. It sort of goes in and out of Westminster Tube. And people think, I wonder what goes on in there. You know, we can't tell people about the assassination and things, but... Hey, I'll just give you a little fact before you pause and resume or anything. Do you know you can't die in the Palace of Westminster?
I don't understand.
Well,
I'm nearly dying.
I'm not going to show you. It's cold where we are. You can't die because if you die, you have to have a royal funeral, a state funeral. So if your heart stops, they drag you outside and say you died there or over the road at St. Thomas's Hospital, which is behind you and you can probably see.
How? Is that that's a real fact?
Yeah. I'm not making
that's
it
a
up.
Fact.
Okay. Right then, there's no point in me trying to kill myself here because I won't get that royal wedding.
Oh, no, your heart has stopped beating.
Okay. But there'll be no whole funeral.
Yeah, you can live at home. You can return onto that at different
point. I can hear a lot of bells ringing today. Do we know what's going on? Pathetically, I am now having lunch with Sean and his beautiful assistant.
Pathetically, that's not very nice.
She is very beautiful, actually. I feel very jealous.
Yeah.
Having lunch in the House of Commons. Must go eating. Hey, Sean, where are we? This is fantastic.
We're in Central Lobby in the House of Commons, or in Parliament generally, because it's not just the Commons. And the first thing that you'll notice standing here is obviously it being very big, but you might have seen some of this on TV because there's a camera point, which is sort of by opposite diagonally the post office in Central Lobby that kind of looked out into the post office.
Okay. Oh, yeah, there's a post office.
Yeah. But you said something just before recording that really interested me. And it's the whole subject of, you said, for a working class girl, you've not done too bad.
Yes.
Now, this is a conversation that I had with George Galloway once. And he was somebody we were also talking about. And, I mean, I personally think class is helping... posed. I mean, if people would like to chip in on that one, it'd be great to hear the views. But I think what he said to me is, no, that's outrageous. He said, no, class is not self-imposed. It's about how you feel when you're somewhere like the House of Commons.
Yes.
And it is rather interesting because as far as I'm concerned, I've no more right to be where we are now than you have. And neither is the Prime Minister, particularly as the Prime Minister, obviously can walk round. But this is a public part of the palace. You know?
Oh, the public can come in here?
This bit, if you want to see an MP. So you'd walk into...
Right, so you can't just walk in.
You can walk in through the security if you don't hold a pass. That takes you to Westminster Hall, which we'll have a look at in a bit. And you can come and see your MP, you can give them your postcode.
Right.
And they'll bring you up to a desk in Central Lobby, which on your left as you walk in through the magnificent St. Stephen's Hall off of Westminster Hall. And you can say, I'd like to speak to my MP. And what do you like to speak to your MP about? Well, there's this photo. No, I won't. And you can kind of go and speak to your MP. You can lobby them on any issue as a constituent. But if you look above, there are four doors here.
Yes.
One door is for the Commons Chamber. Other one for the Lords Chamber. It's the very central point of Parliament. One of them just leads into sort of committees, corridors and that sort of thing. But the one which is in front of you now, which people generally come through, is St. Stephen's Hall. But above the doorways, you've got St. Andrew St. George.
Yeah, the St. Patrick of Ireland.
Yes.
St. David for Wales.
Yep.
St. George for England.
St. Andrew for Scotland.
Yeah.
And it's rather magnificent, really, because this was all rebuilt again after that. Do you remember we mentioned that fire?
The
earlier?
Fire, yes.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
I didn't know about that fire.
I didn't start it.
You sure?
You sure you didn't?
It wasn't me.
Okay. Right, the words of the song. So, so what you've got here anyway is you've got people sort of running to and from bits of parliamentary business.
Yeah, it looks quite busy. There's a lot of people around.
Well, that's it. But this is the one thing, and strictly speaking, people can't really just come and stand in Central Lobby unless you've got a meeting or something.
Unless you've got business to be here.
Personally, I think that's outrageous.
Outrageous.
I mean, because I think it is a public building, and once upon a time before the 60s, there was no security at all. There had to be a bit more security in the late 70s when there was a bomb in Westminster Hall in, I think, 78, and then in 79, the then Shadow Northern Ireland Minister, Airey Neave.
That's right, I remember that.
He was assassinated by a tilting bomb in the House of Commons car park.
Yeah.
And if you remember that, you might remember when Margaret Thatcher was elected in 1979. On the front of Downing Street, she said she would like to remember a few words of St. Francis of Assisi as she remembers Airey Neave, which is where there is, what was it? She said, where there's despair, let us bring hope, and all that sort of jazz.
Yes, yeah.
So it's a place of history.
She was quite close to Airey Neave, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah.
It was quite devastating for her, actually, wasn't it, when he was killed?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think that things like that. Actually, funny enough, I think, you know, Gordon Brown with the death of his child.
That's
and David
right.
Cameron. It goes to show that for all the politics, and it can be a bit sort of, you know, childish at times on the face of it, but behind that it's more serious, and this is a place of great noble causes as well, as Tony Blair would have said, actually. Though it may be the place of squabbling and petty arguments, it's more often the place of noble causes, and that should be remembered.
Lovely, I love that. Yeah, it's a lot going on. Of course, you know, you just mentioned about Gordon Brown losing his child and David Cameron as well. You know, they get ripped to pieces. I wouldn't be a politician for anything in the world. But like you say, people actually forget that they're human beings as well and lost children.
Sorry. I didn't mean to be flippant there. I'm sorry. I didn't realise you were going to make the serious point, because actually that's right. And we are talking about 650 MPs at the moment. Probably 650 MPs after the next election, since David Cameron lost his bid to reduce the number down to 50 and redraw the boundaries, which he would argue would be sort of a fairer system. But that's right. At the end of the day, people are people. You know, we've seen all sorts of things happening, from the deaths of children. We've seen the falling of the former energy and climate change minister, Secretary of State Chris Huhne, just the other day.
Yeah, his wife's on trial now, isn't she?
Absolutely. And so obviously we'll, as soon as that happened, bring, certainly on my own channel, a little bit of background on that one.
Okay, we'll wait for that.
Not much.
We
can still say that Chris Huhne was a liar. That's fine.
Yes. You said that. I'm not going to
prison. You can say that.
No, we can, yes.
You can.
No, he did lie, and it's all out there now. So he's admitted it as well, hasn't he?
Well, he's admitted perverting the course of justice, I suppose. What we should say is, you can draw your own conclusions from that. I mean, actually, to be fair, since Vicky Price is also saying, although she admits the offence, she's claiming the offence of marital coercion.
Right.
So actually, it's fact to say, just in terms of reporting the case, that it's an undisputed fact. So yeah, he's admitted passing the points to his wife.
There you go.
There we go.
Naughty. Right then. So this is all... What should we do now?
Well, you're all doorkeepers who are walking about the place. And, I mean, perhaps you can describe them.
Well, we were having lunch, weren't we? And a man came in, very tall, very imposing looking. He had on long coattails and a bow tie.
You thought it was fancy dress, didn't you?
Well, I just wondered, what is he doing? I wondered if maybe
he's at
a dinner.
Lunch, strictly speaking, but he's what's known as a doorkeeper, effectively a messenger of the house. And they wear a thing called a royal warrant, or not a royal warrant, a warrant, sorry. It's a criminal offence to impede their access anywhere around the House of Commons, so it's a good job you moved out of his way quickly enough.
Yeah.
That's a
theoretical. I'd have been nicked.
Thing. Yeah, absolutely. but what the doorkeepers do, they're effectively a bit like police for the sergeants at arms here at the Commons.
Right.
The sergeants at arms is spelt with a J, S-E-R-J-E-A-N-T.
Why?
Well, it's kind of the Shakespearean thing, as
okay.
opposed to military sergeant. Many of them are ex-military, of course. But the doorkeepers are then responsible for some of the security, because the police officers you'll see around you here, they're not allowed into the members' lobby when the House is sitting.
Oh, they're not?
So later we'll come on to what lobby journalists.
Okay, then. Can't wait. Where are we?
Just round from Central Lobby in a place called St. Stephen's Hall. Do you remember I mentioned it? It's off of Westminster Hall as well. Do you see on the floor by you've got studs?
Yes.
And that's because there used to be a speaker's chair here in Parliament.
Where I'm standing.
They did, and because this was owned by Henry VIII. You know, he liked his women and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, enough said about that. And indeed, he liked the idea of having his own church, but whether that was really, having studied the subject, whether that was really about divorces or whether he just wanted the tax and the title, who knows. But the Commons chamber used to be in here with members facing each other as they do now in
right.
the deliberately adversarial environment that you get.
Okay.
And that's where, obviously, he would sort of preside from. But there's a very interesting thing around by us. Okay, do you see this over here?
Yes.
Can you describe what you see on this sword here?
There's a crack in it.
Yeah, do you know why?
No.
I mean, why should you know why? What am I on about?
Did you break it?
Nobody saw anything.
Wow,
you can't
prove
anything.
Is that marble? Yeah.
Yep, it is, and it's the Falkland statue, and one of the suffragettes chained herself here to demand the vote. You don't need to worry about that now, it's all been sorted. It's
yeah,
put your chain away.
We can vote, yeah.
She chained herself here, and then Sergeant at Arms, rather than thinking, I'll cut the chain, he decided to cut the sword. Literally had it glued back together.
I bet he went down a storm.
It's yeah.
a fabulous statue as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this whole place is quite.
There's a load of drawings.
Do you mean art?
Art. There's
yeah,
artwork
okay.
on the walls.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Vincent van Gogh's drawings? Or Leonardo da Vinci's squiddles? Over to our right is the House of Commons shop, one of two shops in the Commons. We're going to have a look over at Spencer Percival.
That's
right,
isn't
it,
chap? No, it's
Breton.
Breton.
Sorry? Oh, it's not then, okay. Where's Spencer? Hi, Rice, as we're over to the common shop. This lady's recording for the audio booth. It's Dolores, so I'm just telling her. So we're being recorded now, you don't have to say anything, but it may harm your defence. where's the statue of Spencer Percival? Oh, it is somewhere. Trust me, there's one here. But he was shot. He's the only Prime Minister, serving Prime Minister, who was shot. I believe it was 1805. Again, I don't remember it. But he was shot dead, and it was in this room here. The other thing to say about St. Stephen's Hall is it's the only place, other than Westminster Hall, which survived completely, which is part of the original palace. And even then, the roof had to be completely repaired. Everything else was rebuilt, and we'll come on to that later.
Did you say so? This used to be where they'd sit together, and just like the House of
Commons. That's right.
So was this where it first started? It was here. Was it moved there for some?
Yeah, they shifted it when it was felt that they needed a specific debating chamber because it's a very long, thin room. This
it
and
is.
The Commons
yeah.
chamber is nothing like as long as this. It's
okay.
a little bit wider. The Commons Chamber, which today we won't be able to go and see, but another time, there are 650 MPs, but only 435 seats to sit down
on.
And the idea behind that, it was bombed in 1940, was it 41, I think, but 43 when it was rebuilt. Churchill had argued successfully that it should be sort of under capacity so that it's louder and sort of raucous, and that they face each other, instead of having the American horseshoe
yes.
that they have in the... the Scottish... that's right, the Scottish Parliament. That's right, sorry, we'll step all over.
Everyone's in this
Absolutely.
History lesson.
Well, it's good. I mean, it's an interactive booth, isn't
no,
it?
No, it is,
and
yes.
We're involving everybody in Westminster. But so that they would shout at each other. And he said that it was the bedrock of British parliamentary democracy. And he said, first we shape our buildings and then our buildings shape us.
I wish I could say things like that.
You can say things like that.
I can't.
Go on, just say the same thing. First we shape our buildings.
First we shape our buildings.
And then our buildings shape us.
And then our buildings shape us.
That's a really good quote, Dolores.
Thank you. Something I picked up a while ago.
Right, we'll take a walk.
Oh, this is fabulous. I am recording now. Oh, no. Wow.
Do you recognise where you are now, Dolores?
No, not really.
Ah, it's called Westminster Hall, or the Great Hall. The history here is magnificent, and if you hear the acoustics, if everybody forgives me, I'm deliberately projecting so that you can hear right the way across the hall, and I'll come back down to a normal voice.
Okay.
Up above you, you can see, and actually I think you can take a photograph in this direction afterwards, so maybe you can have a photo of Westminster Hall.
Yes, please.
As long as it's not offensive.
That's a wooden rafter.
Yes, it's been repaired. This was built in 1097 by William Rufus, who was son of William the Conqueror. and it sat as a law court throughout the 12th century. It was where Charles I, on January the 27th, 1649, came and spoke about that little civil war thing where he and Parliament fell out a little bit and eventually he lost his head. Oliver Cromwell signed a death warrant. There's facsimiles of that around Byhus. But he refused to recognise Parliament and he said, "I would know by what power I was called to appear," which in layman's terms means poke off, you're not the boss of me now. Winston Churchill lay in state here, I think in 65. The Queen Mother lay in state over here. President Obama stood at the top of these stairs, where incidentally also, it has to be said, William Wallace was hung, drawn and quartered. And he said that the last three people to speak here were Her Majesty the Queen, the Pope and Nelson Mandela, which he said was either a very high bar or the start of a very funny joke. And over the years, because Westminster used to be an island, it's sort of been surrounded in water everywhere as well.
Yes.
There have been fire engines in the throughout the war with the bomb that kind of happened.
There are people working up there. Sorry to interrupt you. It's just like a stage show. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. Sean, what are you seeing?
We're looking right down the hall to the gateway. And actually, I can see a fountain out there. So, but, I mean, they're doing some work. They're
probably
working here.
They always work here because it's a huge building. At the moment, there's talk of Parliament having to move out of Westminster over the road or to Wapping or somewhere whilst the
Wapping
affairs happen. Well, exactly.
No, it can't happen.
Well, I'm sure Lord Justice Leveson wouldn't be too keen on it, would he?
But no.
Dolores, if you look to the very far end, we're up at the top of the stairs.
Yes.
And if you look up to the, from where we are, it'll be the very far left corner, what's known as the Jubilee
room. Yeah.
Now, that room there is where Liberal Democrat parliamentary or parliamentarians, so MPs and the Liberal Democrats basically, met after the general election where there wasn't an overall majority in Parliament to discuss the coalition government and whether they would go into what's known as a confidence and supply and support many things. But you remember that, of course. Everybody said, look, there's a hung Parliament. But I just think the majority of people listening now would just have been disappointed that there was no rope involved.
You're so naughty and I love it. Do you remember that advert? Naughty but nice.
Naughty but nice. Are you sure that was which channel?
Oh,
was
actually,
on?
You're quite young. So, yeah, oh no, I don't know what I'm talking about. Just ignore me.
That's a weird exposed something there. I don't watch those kind of channels.
Is Charles Dickens buried here?
Not as far as I'm aware. However, in fact, I'm relatively sure not. However, I can tell you about one thing about Charles Dickens. I'm sorry if you had great expectations that he might be.
I did have great expectations.
I was speaking to Charles Whitfella about this earlier, but he was actually a gallery journalist in the House of Commons. And as well as being a lobby journalist, Cheon and I are both gallery journalists. And you read on my pass there, it says Rep Prem Gallery and Lobby. It's code for lobby and gallery. And that's basically so that if people find a parliamentary fart on the ground, they don't know what it is and go start.
Right. Ah, oh, OK. Yeah.
So he was there in the early part of the 20th century. And he was writing from the gallery at the times when they didn't used to be able to do anything other than sort of remember what was said and then go outside of the gallery chamber and then have to report on parliamentary proceedings.
Apparently he didn't like his job. You like yours though, don't you?
I like my job, yeah, absolutely. I get to go around asking mischievous questions. In a polite way, I hope. Life's too short to be bitter and horrid, isn't it?
Well, I think he liked his job. I just think he didn't like the politicians.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some politicians don't like journalists, though. You know, we're kind of here on the sufferance, aren't we? Well, no, we are. You know, we have friends who are politicians. But the relationship between press and politicians is, and it's a very healthy thing, this. There's a little bit of a healthy tension between the idea of, and it's not to say that people don't drink together and whatever, and they do.
Yeah.
But there's that whole kind of thing that some journalists, depending on what kind of journalists they are, might be more kind of keen on the salacious things. Now, from my point of view, I'm a broadcaster mainly, and when I write about really boring, technical, geeky things. about, like, you know, booze in Parliament and stuff like that.
Yes.
Or Prime Minister's questions. But I just think one thing that's never lost on me is the history when we're here.
I feel honoured to be able to come in and walk around with
don't
you,
Sean.
No,
see,
well, but I mean, there's places that I've got into that the public couldn't get into, so.
Right, I see. You want to confess?
One up for me.
Anything to confess?
No.
Really?
None whatsoever.
You get a call. Actually, you remind me of a story just before moving on from Westminster Hall of Chris Moncrief, and it's called Wine and Women in Westminster. Brilliant book. He's still a lobby journalist, but unfortunately he doesn't spend much time here. He's sort of mostly retired. And he's the longest serving lobby journalist with 50 years straight service. And when Winston Churchill was lying in state, he was hiding around some steps because he wanted to sort of see what it was early, and he managed to get himself actually temporarily arrested. What are you doing here? Oh, no, sorry, I'm just a bit lost. Yeah, nice try, you're next.
Now, I'm going to just say this once more. You're a lobby journalist.
Yeah, not a
so
lobbyist.
So where are you? No, not a lobbyist, everybody, yeah. Or Dolores, a lobby journalist. Yeah. So I met you at Portcullis House,
yes.
In the lobby.
No, you met me in the atrium at Portcullis.
Okay.
And there are 11 buildings. So the lobby, what it refers to is outside the Commons Debating Chamber is the members' lobby. And in the members' lobby, the only people that are allowed there when the House is sitting are MPs, actually officers of the House can, and lobby journalists.
Ah.
Even gallery journalists who aren't lobby journalists are not allowed to.
Right.
And the idea being is you have the access that you need. More than that is that what's said in there is what's known on lobby terms, so that it's unattributable. You can, unless somebody says, yes, you can quote me on it, they can tell you anything you can't say who told you.
And you can report that.
Yeah. So, right. I mean, you know. And this has never happened, by the way, I stress this, but if George Osborne said to me, oh, well, do you know what, I think David Cameron's passed it and, you know, we need a new leader. I couldn't say George Osborne told me, but I could go on TV or radio and say, well, really interesting, an incredibly senior government minister, very close to David Cameron, told me that he thinks that he's passed it. Do you see what I mean?
So yes.
It's kind of,
yeah.
You know, people say, old journalists, they'll make it up. We don't need to. People do tell us things.
I think they always have, though, haven't they? Fascinating, yeah. Really fascinating. Thank you, Sean.